This podcast is brought to you by the Clare and Gilbert Valleys Council. Hello and welcome to the final episode for 2023 of the Clare Valley Podcast, a podcast providing you all the latest council news and events from the Clare and Gilbert Valleys Council region. I'm your host, Annabelle Homer. We're finishing off the year with some festive cheer, and regional communities sure do know how to celebrate Christmas in their local area.
I'm pretty excited, actually. I saw a couple of cars go past early, and that just made it all real because we've just been waiting for it to all happen. Yeah, it's great.
I'm sort of Santa's helper, and it is the best job in the world, to be quite honest, because there's nothing like the wonder of Christmas and the joy on the little kid's face.
We're more silly clowns. We have some bubbles, but the bubbles come out of mysterious places. Just make naughty. Oh, no!
Lollies!
So much fun. We'll head to Riverton and bring you all the colour, the excitement and laughter at the town's local Christmas pageant, a street pageant that only began because of COVID. But before we head to Riverton, let's get all the latest from council headquarters with Dr. Helen McDonald. Another busy, full meeting. First and foremost, let's talk about the Gleeson Wetland car park that's been constructed, but the process wasn't formally approved by council. So what happened there?
Unfortunately, the Lions Club used an application to request to construct the car park, which was not the process that would normally go through. It was actually about making an alteration to a road. Now, there is no actual road in the Gleeson Wetlands. There was a walking path, which was certainly used by the Lions maintenance crew and our maintenance staff to take in utes, etc., when they needed to take in equipment. But it's not a road. And my staff understood that they were actually talking about building a car park at the end of the street that goes past Pioneer Park and Napstein Winery, and where the road just ends and there's just a potholed gravel
yes.
end. So that's what staff understood, but the Lions Club had a different idea, which was about building a car park in the actual wetlands area. So
right next to the lake, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It is. It's yeah. right next to the lake. Anyway, it transpired when I found out about it, I thought, my gosh, council hasn't actually approved the construction of this because it's on community land. I'm not delegated to make that decision. It's a decision of council. We had to go and ask for retrospective permission from council, which was certainly given by council. So it was deemed to be a positive thing to have the car park there.
So essentially, Lions filling out the wrong form, is that just a miscommunication between council and the Lions Club? Because the Lions Club would have been given advice as to which form to fill out, wouldn't they?
No, there's a form that's on the website that they used. It wasn't helped by the fact that there was a number of quite new staff within council that processed that form. So perhaps if there'd been somebody that had been around for a longer period, then that misunderstanding might not have gone so far and the Lions Club would have been asked to fill in the correct form. But unfortunately, too many newbies.
So who maintains the road and the car park from now on in? Is it up to Lions or is it up to council?
What happens, that's why it's council. It needs to have council permission because it becomes an additional asset that council has to pay for the maintenance of. And the cost of maintaining assets is incredibly expensive. It's the biggest expense that council has. And so for every additional asset you put on, then it increases maintenance costs. So yes, it's a council asset, therefore it's council's responsibility to maintain it.
Grant opportunity for the Riverton Community Hall. I understand the council has the opportunity to apply for grant funding under the federal government's Growing Regions program to undertake the refurbishment by the end of 2025. Now, were councillors in support of applying for this grant?
They were, which is fantastic because obviously it provides an opportunity for some work to be done, but not at the full expense of Clare and Gilbert Valley ratepayers. It'll be great because it'll cover half the refurbishment cost.
So can we just recap on how much this refurbishment is going to cost ratepayers?
Original cost estimate was $1.3 million, but because that costing was given at the beginning of this year and it's not anticipated that work would start until towards the end of 2024, 4, so we put it in at 1.4 million for the refurbishment. However, that's a cost estimate. Mm. You don't actually know how much these things will cost until you go out for tender. My experience is that cost estimates are generally over and above what it will cost us to do, essentially because there's a whole lot of loadings that are put on for regional areas that may not materialise, particularly if local builders and local contractors undertake the work.
The business case has been approved by council. Now it's just getting the grant. So when will that come through?
Oh, it's a little bit more than just getting the grant. We have to put the application in, which I think is due either end of January, early February next year. But we have to get a detailed design completed so we know actually what we're doing, because at the moment it's just a concept. We'll start that now so that it's well and truly completed and ready. Should we be lucky to get the grant? If we don't, then we're still ready for another grant in the future.
Council administration has received a request from Sam McDonald seeking to purchase the unmade portion of Buchanan Street in Clare, which is adjacent to the newly constructed units on Strickland Street. Sam is looking to landscape the area and is agreeable to providing an easement or right-of-way so the public can utilise the area to the back of 308 Main North Road. Now, is council in support of this?
Yes, council did support that. It's interesting because there's a little bridge that goes over the Hutt River, but there isn't actually a formalised walkway. There's just, well, it's an unformed street, but and there's just a people-made footpath that goes through to the back of where Ragree Restaurant is. And it's never going to be a street because it doesn't go anywhere. But SJM would like it to just landscape it to enhance the units that they're currently building on Strickland Street.
And considering it's going to be or potentially could be a public right-of-way, was SJM looking for council support to do this project?
I do believe that that may have been a request, but no, if he wants to fix it up, it'll be at his expense.
Watervale Tennis Club has requested for council to draft a new lease for the Watervale Tennis Courts. This is obviously a peppercorn rent, from what I understand. Has that bill been approved by council?
Yes, it was approved by council, and yes, it is a peppercorn rent. All the leases that council has with community groups are all peppercorn rents. The reason we do leases is to ensure that the groups understand that the maintenance of any infrastructure that they put on or have on that land is their responsibility to maintain and not council. So that's the reason, and they have that for 21 years.
Funding for the Manura Wellness Centre. We talked about this in the last episode, where the Manura Centenary Park Committee was requesting council to provide a grant of $80,000 towards the construction of its wellness centre. It's now formally submitted this request to council, because I think last month nothing was formally put to council. So what's been the council's response to this?
Council was supportive of their application for funding at its last meeting, and presumably now the centre will be able to be built. I'm not sure really it's a wellness centre, it's a change room so far as I can see, but anyway, it's not clear because the designs that were originally submitted were questioned because they were not inclusive. It was basically a men's change room, and so the comment was this doesn't promote council's strategy of being inclusive. Mm. So if you're going to ask council for funding, then needs to be something that can be used by the whole community, not just by a segment of the community. They've already done quite a significant amount of fundraising. They do have a shortfall, I think, of about $30,000 that they need to still find, but council will give them $80,000. Comes off our operating budget, which puts us more further into deficit.
What does council need to take into consideration with this submission because of the built asset review that's underway at Manura?
Basically, council, through this decision of making a grant, has provided Manura with funding which further expands the infrastructure at Centennial Park, and that infrastructure is used primarily as a community centre. Directing funding to Centennial Park, I suppose, puts in question, council didn't make that decision, but it puts into question about whether it will likely fund Manura Hall, which Manura Institute, I should say, because the council is part of its asset reduction. So we have numerous numbers of halls, particularly that are completely underutilised. And so that has been a discussion with the Manura community about what do they want to keep as their primary.
Because they're still undecided
space.
At this stage, aren't they?
Well, they said they didn't want to give up anything. They wanted council to continue to main Manura Hall. Well, yep. Council, you know, for 150 people, doesn't really have the capacity to support and fund two sets of infrastructure.
So just to be clear, where is it at now? Now that council's decided to support the Centennial Park, is it now putting more pressure on Manura to make a decision about the hall?
I would think so, but yep. Knowing Manura, they'll, you know, maintain the position that they have, which is council, please pay to maintain our hall as well.
We talked about the budget review last meeting as well. It was also talked about extensively in this meeting because more information needed to be provided to councillors. Now, were councillors satisfied with the amount of information that was supplied as part of this first budget review?
Some were and some weren't. We thought we had done what council had asked and provided extensive explanation for the changes that were in the budget. One of the things we did do was remove the budget request for sealed roads because at this point in time the actual cost is uncertain because we haven't got a contract in place. So we removed those. Unfortunately, we didn't provide a fulsome enough explanation about why we had removed that. And so a body of councillors, you know, didn't think we'd met the request of
providing. And why didn't you provide the full explanation as to why you removed that part of the...
Oh, I think it was just an oversight in terms of thinking that our focus was on providing explanation for changes in the budget review as opposed to explanation for things that had been removed from budget review that had been previously included. So, yeah.
So councillors pretty much wanted more transparency in why things were removed, what things are in the budget review. They wanted a full picture.
Written in words.
Yes.
Provided answers to questions are clearly not sufficient in the eyes of some councillors.
So what's the next step then? That all that information is going to be provided at the next meeting?
Yes, it will be provided at the next meeting and we hope that it'll be accepted otherwise.
So if it's not accepted, what does that mean?
We can't actually undertake the works. So people's roads will not be upgraded and it puts at jeopardy our ability to actually complete our capital program by the end of the financial year.
Several businesses have approached administration for discounts for fees that have been applied to them. For example, the use of the Clare Town Hall kitchen, which they've been forced to use because of issues with the wastewater system in their own commercial premises that they rent. And another business would like the CWMS connection fee to be waived because of the cost of building three new houses becomes prohibitive if the fee is applied. So there's just some examples of what some businesses have approached administration on. You provided this information in your report, Helen. Were councillors bringing up any questions in relation to this as to whether the council will waive these fees?
No, there were no questions or comments at all on that part of my report, which I actually did expect some discussion, but obviously more concerned about council's budget review process than business needs at this point in time.
Do you think that will be revisited?
Well, unlikely.
Finally, talk about the Clare Valley Hut project. The Clare Valley Wine, Food and Tourism Centre reports on a 6-monthly basis their key performance indicators. What's the update with that particular venture down there near the caravan park? How is it travelling? Because in the past we have reported that they have made a loss. Things improving on the financial front?
I don't think they've changed significantly. Their loss is about the same as it was 12 months ago. So I haven't had any discussions with them about how they are hoping to fill that gap and at least have a balanced budget or balanced end of year report. So
just to be clear, the loss is $26,467.
Yeah.
In the scheme of things, is that quite significant?
Obviously, given that they're dependent on funding from council, I would have thought that it's probably not something they can sustain over the longer period. They'd need to come in with a balanced statement at end of year statement ultimately, because they'll be drawing down, I presume, on cash reserves. So they will need to work out how to balance their budget. Council has an agreement in place that I believe is up for review next year. So that will be part of what they need to consider is, you know, I don't think council's going to want to be looking at funding something that's likely to go broke. Or, because I think my understanding, when this exercise started with the Visitor Information Centre, it was supposed to be a profit-making entity and that the support from council was not to be something that was part of the long-term financial plan. I might be wrong about that, but that's my understanding. It's dependent really on council decision about its funding. You know, maybe they'll ask council for more funding in the next round. Who knows?
Helen, thank you again for your time. Thank you very much for supporting this podcast over the last 12 months. It's been fun. I'll catch you in January.
Certainly. And I'd just like to wish all of our listeners a happy New Year and a Merry Christmas. And hopefully everybody has a safe time on the roads.
The community of Riverton all converged around the streets of the town for the annual Christmas pageant. Traditionally, Riverton celebrates this time of year with a Christmas carnival on the town's oval, but COVID restrictions forced them to change direction and introduce a pageant that travelled through all the back streets of Riverton so residents could sit in their front yards and not miss out on all the Christmas action. What an ingenious idea! Fast forward to 2023, this still happens with the 20-odd floats finishing up at Shoals Park where the party continues. There were clowns on bikes, elves handing out honey biscuits, superheroes on the back of utes, a Santa travelling in a vintage car and hanging off trucks, balloons were popping, water bombs were thrown, kids were squealing, music playing, sirens blaring, the streets of Riverton sure did come alive. Here's a taste of what unfolded.
George, Angus,
Fred, Elsie,
Casey,
Phoebe,
Thomas.
What are you most excited about with the pageant?
Lollies.
Giving balloons to people.
To be walking around on the road.
Being happy.
The floats.
Spraying bubbles at them.
I thought one of you would have at least said Santa.
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 Santa, definitely.
I'm going to go get Santa and get an ice cream.
Meet Santa and try to get a present.
Now, it wouldn't be a pageant without a clown. And there's a couple of you that are roaming the streets this afternoon. Tamika, well done you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, there's a few of us. It's just me and a bunch of kids from the local high school, primary school, and across the road. So, yeah.
Is this a regular thing for you? Do you usually dress up as a clown for the Riverton pageant?
Yes, I've been in all of the pageants. My little clown crew changes yearly, but no, I'm a sucker for punishment, so I've come along every year. It's good fun, actually.
How many years have you been participating?
I think this might be the third, possibly fourth year we've run the parade. So it was used to be a big Christmas party down at the Oval, but COVID sort of cancelled that on us, and so we went to the parade format. But it's been really nice. It's a good, fun little hour of fun just riding around town. We're more silly clowns. We have some bubbles, but the bubbles come out of mysterious places. We really like going to the senior citizens' home. That's actually a bit of a laugh up there, so we run around up there. Just make naughty. Oh no!
I've come across a float that's filled with superheroes, and we're talking Batman, Superman, the Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man.
My name's Luke Mike-Lanny. I'm here with Will Noel, Henry Ball, Ben Parkinson, Jack Turney, Jack Connell and Dylan Griffiths. We're a part of the RSMU Football Club and just wanted to put a float in for the Christmas pageant.
I love it. I love the fact that you are superheroes and you've taken on a theme. Whose idea was that?
That was Henry's over there. He's the main organiser of all this. He's been pretty passionate about it, so it's been really good to be involved.
And is this something that the footy club usually does? You usually put a float in for the pageant?
I think it's been done the last few years, so yeah, it's just something to try and give back to the kids, have a bit of fun, throw a few water balloons at them.
And is it usually a superhero theme, or do you change it up every year?
No, it's been the superhero theme for the last few years.
So you just bring out your costumes every year. And is it the same blokes, or you mix it up as well?
I'm fresh this year, but I think there's a few blokes here that have done it every year, so yep.
So how's the season been? How did you go?
We knocked out the first final, so ended up fourth, so yeah, we went all right, but didn't quite get there at the end of the year.
So how important is this pageant for the community?
Any sort of community event that is able to sort of give back and have a bit of fun, and especially this time of the year, is just really, really good for anyone, the whole town, to bring everyone together.
Okay, I've just approached a very vintage car with Santa in the back. Hello, Santa.
Good to see you.
Oh, golly. It's a very interesting horn.
Who am I speaking to?
My name's Chris Sidwell. This is a 1911 Model T Ford. So, yeah, nothing... Well, there is only five in Australia, so it's pretty rare.
That's pretty special, and it's obviously yours.
Yeah, it's mine. Acquired it a little while ago, not that long ago, but still learning to drive it. It's unusual to drive. It's got three pedals instead of two, and handbrakes and things like that. So we usually put Santa in the gold Mercedes there. So this is the first time Santa's been in the Model T. So
Santa, do you feel you've upgraded?
It's an absolute upgrade because, you know, I'm getting somewhere more my age, more my vintage. So very good.
And how do you feel being Santa in the pageant?
I'm sort of Santa's helper, and it is the best job in the world, to be quite honest, because there's nothing like the wonder of Christmas and the joy on the little kid's face.
Paige Rowett at Riverton. This year we thought for the first time we would put in a float for our netball club. Our netball club's a community organisation, and, you know, these events are just really great to bring community together. So we thought, why not finish harvest early, got the farmers all organised and ready to go. So, yeah, no, we thought we'd throw something together this year. First time, but I grew up over on the Eyre Peninsula and we used to do this every year, like for years and years. And so it's great. It's exciting to be able to do it in our community here.
And is it also because you won the premiership as well?
Oh yeah, a little bit maybe. I got a little bit of a top on here celebrating. So yeah, no, premierships are great, but it's about getting the club together, getting that spirit happening, and yeah.
Well, we should say that the perpetual shield is on the front of the U.
Yeah, it is. We thought pride of place, it should be right at the front and on display. So yes, if we make it into the local papers, everyone can kind of see and celebrate all of the club's victories, including ours.
Who owns the ute? Because that's a vintage ute.
Oh, well, that's Kerry Heinrich. So, Kez, you can talk about your ute.
is there anything significant about the ute? It looks like it's like over 100 years old.
No, it's a 1980 model, actually. This is what I learnt to drive in. My grandpa had one of these and he used to trundle out to the farm as a kid and I learnt to drive in it. So I've always wanted one, and my brother wrecked ours at home. So when I found this at Kapunda, I was like, I have to have it. Drove it home from Kapunda and here we are. It's going to be just the Hawks ute, probably.
Is this the first time you've been in the pageant?
The first time we've been in, yeah, the Riverton pageant. But yeah, as Paige said before, I grew up every year being in a pageant over on the York Peninsula. So it's good to see that, Riverton's finally catching on.
Oh, well, good on you and congratulations on the premiership. Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cindy, congratulations. I've seen a little bit of the pageant so far. Everyone is so excited. There is such a buzz in this town. How are you feeling?
I'm pretty excited, actually. I saw a couple of cars go past early and that just made it all real because we've just been waiting for it to all happen. Yeah, it's great.
Tell me about the pageant, the history of the pageant, because it hasn't been going on for that long, really.
This part and the way they go around town was because of COVID. So back in 2020 when they couldn't have the party or the carnival at the Oval, they decided to still run the pageant. And by running it round through all the back streets, people could come out the front, you know, wave to Santa, check out everything out. They're getting some lovely honey biscuits and some lollies thrown out at them everywhere. And it's really enjoyable and it gets to go around past the elderly people's home and up through the hospital. So all the people that can't come down here are still going to get to see and be part of it, which is all about community.
So it's not COVID anymore, no. But you're going to continue this tradition.
Yes, at this stage we're still happy to continue this because there's still plenty of people that can't come down here and, you know, enjoy the whole, let's get the whole community as part of it. It's really great.
And everyone finishes here at Shoals Park?
Yes, we'll finish up here at Shoals Park. The cars and the float will all come back here at about 7 o'clock. Santa will be out there with the kids. And 7:15 we will start the prize giving for the colouring competition for all the kids and then the best decorated house. We've got some prizes for those. The amount of houses actually that are decorated this year, huge. It was really difficult trying to figure out who was going to get that. We've got six prizes. So,
Cindy, who has won the best decorated house in Riverton?
Six. We've got number 13 and number 43 Swindon Street, number 1 Torrens Road and 63 Torrens Road, 46 Masters Street, and unit 2, number 2 McInerney Street.
So what's the prize?
Oh, yummy chocolates and wine. What else could you do? You can't go wrong with chocolates and wine.
Well, congratulations, and an awesome community event, and it's obviously enjoyed by all, and the kids are ecstatic.
I'm loving this. This is great.
Well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming too.
That was Cindy Nolan, the pageant organiser, and congratulations to the pageant committee. A job well done. A fantastic community event enjoyed by all. That's a wrap on 2023. The podcast will be back next month bringing you all the latest news, issues and events from across the Clare and Gilbert Valleys region. To keep up to date with all council-related matters, head to its website or social media pages, which are updated regularly. I'm your host, Annabelle Homer. It's been an absolute pleasure to be in your ears every month. Hope to have you back listening in 2024. The Clare Valley Podcast was brought to you by the Clare and Gilbert Valleys Council.